You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Right now, they have their upgrade into a newer pre-owned vehicle right now through until March 24th and 5th. It's going to be a barbecue, and also, if you upgrade your vehicle, you'll be entered to win two VIP load seats at Lakewood Chev.
Let's get to our big guest of the day now, brought to you by Shatified. Get Shatified for the most stylish cuts and straight razor shaves in town. Walk-ins are welcome at all four Edmonton and area locations. Get Shatified at Shatified.com. The Hall of Famer, Adam Oates, joins us as he always does every Tuesday. Adam, did you happen to catch any of the Oiler game last night?
Yeah, I did. I watched about half of it, yeah.
Okay. Now, you've played with great players, and you're a pretty great player yourself. Connor McDavid in the first period walked around one of the best defensemen in the game and he didn't even touch him, and Drew Doughty. McDavid, every shift in the first period was one of those "are you kidding me" type of games. As a player who played in the league, what do you think when you see a guy that dominant against the best of the best?
When it comes to Connor right now, I'm not surprised, because the gear that he has in open ice is incredible. Obviously it's just fun to watch. And, Drew Doughty is a fantastic defenseman and got caught on it a couple times last night. And it's one of those things that the guys will have to learn how fast he is. It's pretty scary when you think about it. I mean, he really has a gear that nobody has in open ice.
Oh, yeah. And, the thing that I'm seeing now for McDavid, because in junior, he was so much quicker than everyone. He could skate the puck right into the net. We saw it against Vancouver. He's getting a little bit more comfortable shooting on the fly, Adam. And I know it might sound crazy, but if you've never really had to do that, and even you're the fastest player in the NHL, it's going to take some time to feel comfortable shooting on the fly, correct?
Yeah, for sure. Everybody keeps learning. I mean, it is incredible, and that's something he has to learn. He's been a guy that's been able to skate no matter what and have success. There's still times in the game, whether it's a power play or off a face-off in the O-zone or just the O-zone 5-on-5 coverage, where you have to learn to play a little slower. He has to learn how to shoot off, coming in off the rush on his left side or on his offside. And you know what? He's so young, it's hard to remind yourself that he has stuff to learn, because when you watch him on a night-to-night basis, it's fantastic, right?
Oh, yeah, it's... There are nights where you just kind of go, wow, man. And I'm sure that's how, and I don't want to compare errors, and it's because it's tough to compare anybody to Gretzky. But, I remember nights where people would just be like, man, Gretzky's just got the puck on a string. And last night, and McDavid was good all game long, but the first period specifically, Drew Doughty was, and he's got a good sense of humor. I don't know if they saw it on TV or not, Adam, but there was one point in the game after McDavid walked around him, they're skating back up the ice, and Doughty's just kind of screaming at him, seriously, screw off.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. But you guys, I would say my generation, Gretz was such a unique guy. He was on his own pedestal. But you had another one in Paul Coffey.
Yeah.
And Coff could wheel the net, and you'd be chasing him, and then all of a sudden he'd pull away from you, and you'd be like, you got to be kidding me. That a guy in our league, and you play at good levels, and all of a sudden you're at the next level, yet he had a gear that nobody has. I still skate with Kopp once in a while, and you laugh about how good he skates. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I know. He came out to the Alzheimer's Pro-Am a year ago, and we played against him. And Coffey, and their team had a good deal. We had Joe Neuendijk on our team, and I knew Joe was good, but I didn't know he was that good, and how hard he could shoot the puck and fly. But Coffey kind of had it once a period. He would show them how Coffey skated. And it was unbelievable to be on the ice to see just – and I'm sure, because he's still 50, probably wasn't as fast as he was in the NHL, but he was still lightning quick. It was two strides and was gone. It was effortless.
Exactly. Incredible. And every once in a while, we get those athletes. It's fun to watch.
Oh, it is fun to watch. Now, I watched the LA Kings last night. I've been watching them all season long. And to me, they've fallen behind in a few things. They're still trying to play that game where they just shoot the puck from everywhere, go to the net, and maybe have more size than the other team. But teams have figured it out. They're boxing them out. they rarely complete two or three passes in the offensive zone. And I wonder how much of that style is hurting guys like Kopitar and such, Adam, where it's basically, it's not a skill game anymore. And the NHL is becoming more of a skill game. Like, the Kings are really going to have to revamp not only some of their players, but their whole system, because gone are the days of just shooting from everywhere and hoping to crash the net. Because last night, did you know what? They had not one rebound that was within 10 seconds of the first shot. Either Cam Talbot saw the puck easily and held it, or he cleared it back in the corner and there was no rebound. The entire game.
And you know, in the last 10 years, they haven't been a team that focused on their power play either for offense. But it's funny, you're right. Like, that's an enigma of a team where we all are a little bit leery of them if they make the playoffs, because no matter what anybody says, the game slows down in the playoffs. It does. And they're kind of built for that. But now it's been 2 years where they're probably not going to make the playoffs. So do I see your side of it? Yeah, I do. I do. Like, I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs, but they're not going to make it. So maybe they got to revamp it a little bit. Although Jonathan Quick missed 50 games, so they might say, you know what, if we had our number one guy, we'd still be there, and that's all we care about. And that's where it comes to a team's philosophy and ownership. And, you know, they won two cups recently, so it's tough to argue, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it worked at that time. There's no doubt. And they had some skill. I just find that I think the toughest thing in the National Hockey League is, you know, building a winner is tough enough. But then trying to maintain it, because managers fall in love with certain players. And, you know, Dustin Brown's a prime example in L.A. It's an albatross of a contract, without a doubt. And he's got 5 years left at almost $5.8 million. And, like, this guy's barely a 35-point player anymore. So I look at the Kings, and it's not just they got to get quicker, which they do. They got Kempe and some others. But they're going to have to change their thinking and how they think you can succeed in the NHL, because I just don't think what happened even in 2012 or 14 is going to be effective in 2018.
Yeah, possibly not. I can't disagree with you. I tell you what I did like about the game last night is, you know, the Oilers shut them out, and they handled the physicality like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that going down the stretch, it's just a nice little thing that you put in your Rolodex, that we can win 2-0 and shut a team down. And that's a good quality to have, because you're going to need a game like that here and there, right?
Yeah. And it's interesting you bring that up, Adam, the physicality. Brent Myers told me he thinks the Oilers are the toughest team in the league right now. And I know that fighting's not as prevalent as it once was, but when you've got that many big guys who can play, it's kind of back to the 80s where the guys who fought also played 15 minutes a night. Right, it wasn't 4 minutes a night, and that's what made them more effective players. Bob Probert, probably the best example of that. But just having that mentality, and you've talked about it so many times, Adam, it made you feel better, and you were not a guy who was ever going to fight anybody, that if you had toughness on your team, you felt you played a little tougher.
Well, that's a fact, right? And you know what? It kind of goes along with the home ice advantage type thing, where having a tough team affects four guys on that team. It doesn't affect everybody. It's not gonna affect Drew Doughty. It's not gonna affect Kopitar. But it might influence maybe four guys on the team, and that's four guys that kind of go from playing a normal game to a little bit below average, maybe. And that's what you're kind of trying to accomplish. And that's kind of what home ice is, right? It doesn't affect everybody. It affects a couple guys, and that's what you're looking for. Maybe a couple guys on a given night is the difference between you winning or losing on that night.
Well, you know, it's interesting how you mention that, because, you know, people think, oh, it's not going to scare guys. Sure, certain players it won't, but some guy, and even if it just makes you hesitate the odd time, that could be the difference in a loose puck that ends up leading to a scoring chance that ends up in the back of your net.
No question. That's what it's about. It's not the fighting. It's the physicality. It's the toughness. And that's what I mean about L.A. Like, if they get in the playoffs, the game slows down a little bit. There's a little bit more stress in each individual game. You play the same team 7 times. So having that guy that can pound someone for 7 games has an effect. I know Peter Chiarelli won in Boston. When Boston won a few years ago, they were a very physical, tough team. That got them a cup. That definitely influenced a cup. So that matters. The Oilers have some big D right now. I think for me, that's the biggest difference. I think their defense core as a group is so much better than it's been. And that makes the goalie better. And then that creates more offense. And then that allows our forwards to be a little quicker. Why are we quicker? Well, our defense is better.
Yeah.
You know, Chicago, when you look at Chicago, you know, when you watch Patrick Kane and Hossa and Panarin, why are they so free to play? Well, the defense corps is so good. You don't see Patrick Kane winning a battle on the wall to get the puck out. That's how good their decor is. And that's why they've been able to play a certain way. Well, I look at the Oilers on a night-to-night basis, and I feel their decor has improved enough to allow the forwards to be freer and the goalie to play better because he's got the same amount of shots, kind of the same type of chances against all the time. He's not having to make 50 spectacular saves a night.
Well, Cam Talbot, I think, has put himself into at least the Vezina conversation. I think it's Bobrovsky's to lose at this point. Devin Dubnyk's had a tough few weeks. Braden Holtby's obviously going to be in that conversation as well. And Cam Talbot, and just the confidence, Adam, of knowing you have that guy back there. As a forward, does it impact your game at all, knowing you have a great goaltender?
Yeah, no question. You know, because every once in a while you have a breakdown that you don't expect, maybe in the middle of the game, and if the goalie makes that save, it's a cure-all. You know, it's a cure-all on the penalty kill. Working for the Devils, for Lou Lamoriello, and we obviously for all those years he had Brodeur, and Brodeur was his main cog. So we designed stuff to make sure that Brodeur didn't see any crazy chances. We tried to make it so that the system, he was going to get shots, and he'd get chances, but there were chances that he got used to because you got to coach him too, right? Like, he's no different than any other player. You want him to improve. You want him to be sound. You want him to have confidence. So the more that you can direct where the shots are coming from, the more he gets to practice that. So we had drills in practice that we would design shots that he would see in a game so that he got to improve. And that was kind of loose philosophy, and there's a lot to be said for that because if you give a guy five breakaways a game, how do you train for that? And how does that guy keep his confidence up, right? So I look at the Oilers on a night-to-night basis, not just one night, but night after night, where the chances have to be down, and there are different types of chances. Like you said, L.A. didn't get a rebound last night for 10 seconds. Well, how do you think that affects Cam Talbot?
Oh, yeah. It makes the game easier.
Well, he's Superman now, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what you want to create. You want to create that for him. You want to create it for your decor, and you want to create it for your forwards every way possible, right?
Adam Oates, Hockey Hall of Famer, a skills coach for numerous NHL players, joins us. Quickly, just, you know, that playoff race, the Oilers are definitely in one. And you talked about the thing that impressed you most about last night was in a game where LA was desperate, the Oilers didn't look uncomfortable at all with a heavy physical team. Now, they're not as skilled as the Ducks or the Sharks or even the Calgary Flames at this point, but the Oilers definitely have the McDavid and Draisaitl skill to match any of the other teams, and it looks like at least they're more comfortable having to play that playoff hockey. Can you describe how much of a difference it will be in the playoffs, Adam? Like, I know I was looking up your stats, and even your hit totals went up significantly in the playoffs. Like, everybody suddenly becomes a physical player in the postseason.
Well, what did I go from, 1 to 2?
Buddy, that's a 50% increase.
Exactly. You know what? It's just one of the things. The first thing that you got to understand is you play the same team, and everybody gets the same amount of rest. And the first two games, or the first game at both rinks, is more physical because you're excited, it's your barn, it's playoffs, and that's why first round's tough. There's always a surprise guy that lights it up in the first round, right? It's almost always a third liner. Someone scores a big overtime goal, and, you know, you try and gear as much as possible for it, but there's an intensity level that changes. And you know what? It's a fantastic feeling. It really is. You have to embrace it. You know, you don't always have success with it. I didn't, you know, I had some years I had really good playoffs and some I didn't. And you're trying to always figure out what was the difference. Could you prepare the same? Sometimes it's matchups.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why your depth, you know, like you mentioned, Draisaitl and McDavid. But, you know, on a given series, Nugent Hopkins and Eberle might be the man, right? Depending on who the other team covers, right? And all of a sudden they have a hot first two games or something, and they carry you through a series. But you gear for four rounds, right? You don't just gear for one. And but intensity wise, it's so different. And if you get through that first round, it becomes very exciting, right? Like, and that's why anything can happen if you get through the first round. You know, your team just gets on a roll, And when you have a nice mixture of young guys and veterans, it can be a lot of fun.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Who knows? Oh, see, maybe we'll find a game. You might even add three hits one game, which would have been a 300% increase. So that would be, hey.
Maybe if there's overtime.
Yeah. Well,
maybe even a shot block.
Oh, yeah, you might have gotten in the way accidentally, right?
Yeah.
Smart.
Got to sacrifice.
You got to sacrifice, exactly. Adam, always good to catch up with you. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
See you later, bud.